My guest at this time is Mark Mix. He's the president of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. And it's been a very interesting year as we observe this Labor Day in terms of the issue of organized labor and the right to work. We've seen it in terms of the Wisconsin governor and Republican legislature trying to adjust the rules in that state. We've also, of course, seen it with the National Labor Relations Board and its relationship with Boeing in South Carolina. So a lot has happened this year, and a lot, of course, is still likely to unfold, and Mark is here to sort it out. And Mark, it's good to have you with us. Happy Labor Day.
Thank you very much, Greg. Thanks for the opportunity to be on today.
Absolutely. Let's just before we even get into the union versus right to work issue, just the latest jobs report that came out on Friday, net zero. The unemployment rate is still over 9. So before we even get into union versus right to work, or it may be a factor in your opinion, what do you make of the fact that we don't seem to be gaining much on the jobs front?
Well, it's a real disappointment, Greg, not only for the folks here in Washington, but for workers across the country. It really is a difficult state of affairs for most people. And, you know, this president has talked about job creation being job one. And unfortunately, it seems like the regulatory response and the legislative response is just not there.
So let's move on now to the issues that have dominated some of the headlines throughout the year, beginning with the situation in Wisconsin, which was ground zero for this fight over asking conventional employees, state municipal employees, to kick into their retirement and health care costs, also passing legislation to reduce collective bargaining power for the unions in the state. Other states followed. Ohio certainly was one of them, Michigan in some respects, even New York with a strong Democratic leadership there. What do you make of the movement and the union reaction to it?
Well, it is an important time to understand that the cost and size of government has increased dramatically, and unfortunately, the economic situation we find ourselves in is exposing some of those inefficiencies and the size and of not only the size but the cost of government. And so Wisconsin and New York and New Jersey and Illinois and Indiana and Tennessee and other states have responded by looking at reforming the bargaining laws that have been in existence in some cases, like Wisconsin, about 50 years. And, you know, it's important to remember, Greg, that Governor Walker up in Wisconsin did not repeal bargaining. He simply limited the scope of bargaining. But more importantly, what he did in Wisconsin, and what really the battle was all about up there, was he granted government employees, both at the state level and the local level, the right to choose whether or not to be involved with a labor union as it relates to financial commitments. Basically, there is a right to work law for government employees in Wisconsin. And the second part of that was that he repealed the authorization that allowed the state of Wisconsin and local government authorities to collect union dues for unions and forward them to them out of the paychecks of workers there. So that's really what this was all about. And Ohio had the same thing. Again, they limited bargaining. They didn't eliminate it, but they passed a right-to-work law for workers there in the state of Ohio. So, you know, the energy of which union officials responded in Wisconsin was a result of that because, you know, they've taken away their ability to force workers to pay them as a condition of employment. And unfortunately, we're going to see more of these debates across the country as we move into next year's budget cycle as well, I think.
Economically speaking, I know you deal with more of just the rights of workers in the workplace, but economically speaking, what impact could some of these changes have, do you think?
Well, in Wisconsin, the impact has been fairly dramatic, from what I understand. The reports that we're hearing is that local school boards now have a little more flexibility in the budgeting process, and they've been able to rehire teachers. They've actually been able to negotiate health insurance policies now. You know, under the old law, the union up there, WEAC, the Wisconsin Education Association, had this privilege of providing the health care for the workers they represented. And it turns out, once they went out into the open market and started negotiating costs, school boards were saving literally 10, 15, 20% and have been able to turn that money back into the school system and hire new teachers. And so I think while the public fanfare over what happened in Wisconsin is still bubbling a little bit, the folks on the ground there, the taxpayers, the local school districts, are enjoying new flexibility, which is giving them options they didn't have prior to the passage of the law.
The other showdown is down south, South Carolina. Boeing, for the past number of years, has been planning to build a major plant, a major assembly line for its products in South Carolina, which is a right-to-work state. Its headquarters remains in Washington State, which is not a right-to-work state. And just in the past few months, of course, the National Labor Relations Board here in Washington basically told Boeing that it could not do that. What do you expect to be the result of this? The South Carolina governor, most of its lawmakers, of course, feverishly trying to fight to keep those jobs headed towards South Carolina. But what do you expect to happen, and what does this do to the national debate?
Well, the Boeing case is really an amazing case, and it's amazing the federal government has decided they can step in and tell a private employer where they can locate or expand production facilities. And, Greg, it's important to understand that not one job was displaced from Washington State. These are brand-new jobs and additional productive capacity for Boeing, who has orders for about 825 of these new 787 Dreamliner aircraft. So this didn't harm anybody in Washington State. In fact, 2,000 new jobs have been created out in Washington State, as I understand it, to go along with the 1,000 jobs that have been created in Charleston, South Carolina. And so for the board to step in on behalf of the Machinist Union and say somehow Boeing has violated the law by going to the right-to-work state of South Carolina is really a new kind of outrage by the National Labor Relations Board and their general counsel. The case right now is in a courtroom up in Seattle, Washington, in front of an administrative law judge of the National Labor Relations Board. They haven't even gotten to opening arguments yet. There's been lots of back and forth about documents that are going to be involved, and Boeing and the union and the NLRB are all working that stuff out. But if this goes to its legal conclusion without a settlement, this case could go all the way to the United States Supreme Court. The good news is Boeing's actually starting to produce aircraft in South Carolina, and they're going to meet those customer demands, hopefully, and until the case is finished, I think they're still going to be producing down there.
Let's talk a little bit more about where things stand in terms of another piece of legislation that was a big priority in the previous Congress, and that's card check. That was one of the things the administration did not get done when it had Democratic control of both the House and Senate. Now, of course, it seems like it would have very little, if any, chance of getting through the Republican-controlled House. So are you breathing a sigh of relief at this point, or is this issue still very much alive?
Well, actually, Greg, it's very, very much alive. The National Labor Relations Board just released a decision last week on Tuesday overturning a case we won back in 2007 that granted individual workers the right to trigger a secret ballot election if they'd been organized by card check. Card check is already allowed under the law. The only way that a secret ballot election is conducted in a labor management union certification drive is if the employer requests it. Under our victory in 2007, workers got the right to request a secret ballot election. The National Labor Relations Board has just overturned that decision, so now workers can be subjected to card check unionization again. What the statute was about back in the last Congress, when Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi were in charge, was basically making this the standard procedure for union organizing drives and virtually eliminating the secret ballot and saying the employer would have no choice. If the union brought cards to the employer, he couldn't trigger a secret ballot election. He'd have to accept the cards, and thereby every worker in the unit would be under union control. So they didn't pass it in the legislature because Americans, when they found out what it was all about, rose up, and the Democrats and other politicians realized that this might be a little more politically dangerous than they anticipated. But yet the National Labor Relations Board now has chimed in and gone really overstepped their boundaries, I think, in reestablishing card check as a primary mechanism for union certification.
Last 60 seconds with Mark Mix of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. And Mark, it's obviously been an extremely busy year on the union front for you and others. What do you expect to be the next fronts in this battle?
Well, Greg, I only expect it to heat up. I mean, as we get into 2012 and the presidential election, these issues, I believe, are going to be at the forefront of the debate. The Boeing question, the card check question, the government unionism question, all those issues are raising up, and people are becoming much more interested. I expect that the heat of the election campaign is going to make this even more a visible issue as we go forward.
We'll be watching, and I know you'll be right in the mix. Mark, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. My pleasure.
Mark Mix is president of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.